him there, hoping soon he'd die. That his body and spirit would waste away, and soon after that his mind.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, for your daily program. That's National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your say, and yarn up strong. All right, now, Indo-Pacific, Asian Pacific, and First Nations women kick goals as trainee commentators, mobile journalists. And with that, we've got our very own Ruby Ketchell, who works here with us and who joined this fantastic conference down in Brisbane. And we're going to talk to her about that journey and the next step or level for her career pathway in journalism. And a very good morning, Ruby. How are you, sister?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Mm-hmm. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ruby. Born and raised in Cairns, but, Torres Strait Islander, Aboriginal girl, of course, proud of it. Yes, here this morning, ready to chat.
Ready to chat, fantastic. So listen, talking about this fantastic conference, tell us, how long is it in Brisbane? How long were you down there for?
I was in Brisbane for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like retirement.
Yeah, biggest time away, I know. And the sun was shining the whole time.
But would have been cold. You felt a bit of the
cold. Oh, I was so cold that whole time.
From hillbilly up north? Yes, exactly. So, look, fantastic. So, we're talking Indo-Pacific, Asian-Pacific, and First Nation women with the training for commentators, mobile journalists. Tell us how you come about this and tell us the lead up to this 2 weeks conference, and what do you get out of it at the end of it?
So basically, my auntie, shout out Anyanji. She got in contact with me because someone had shown her this, and she thought she'd just mention it to me because at this point I'd been working at BBM for just 2 months, actually, when she first mentioned it to me. And basically the ABC International Development sent out applications for Indo-Pacific, Asia-Pacific and First Nations women to apply for commentary and mobile journalism training in conjunction with the FIFA Women's World Cup that's been happening lately.
Talk about kicking goals, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So exactly. And then I guess I kind of just applied. I didn't really think much of it. And I was actually here at work when they emailed me back.
Okay.
Yeah. They emailed me back, and then technically it was just back and forth emails. And then we had about 6 to 8 weeks of online training. So just a Zoom call every Tuesday. We were split into groups. So it was just the mobile journalists training together, and the commentators were training together.
Mm.
And they had heaps of amazing people come on.
Cool.
Do presentations, do all these other little things, because mobile journalism is still quite new to the journalism industry.
Yes.
So they were kind of just breaking it down for us and whatnot. And then, we moved off to Brisbane. And from there was more training, introductions to we call it the Mojo Kit, the Mobile Journalism Kit.
Okay.
And then, the training. And then we actually went to a couple World Cup games.
Okay, together as a team?
Yes. And we did.
Did you commentary?
Well, the commentators, because they did, I don't know if anyone knows Peter Longman. He was doing the training with all of them, with all the commentators. So when the game started, between us, there was 19 of us. Mm. So they split that into two groups. There was a group of commentators and mojos, and then another group of commentators and mojos. Mm. So for one game, one team would go up, and the commentators would practice on the live game, but they would just record it so they could go back and practice through that. And then us mojos I guess it was kind of, you had to film what you were assigned to film.
Yes.
So one team had to assign, they were assigned to film the commentators and follow them along the 2 weeks. And then my group, we had to film the other mojos and our, you know, development mm-hmm. throughout those 2 weeks. So
so the footage and training mm-hmm. can be seen on a webpage somewhere?
Well, actually, I'm pretty sure they've uploaded it. You could probably find it on their Facebook page.
ABC?
ABC International Development or WINS, Women in News and Sports.
Okay, beautiful, fantastic. And you, Virchi, when we talk about mobile journalism, just paint that picture for our listeners. That's a journo who's mobile.
Yeah. So mobile journalism is still just journalism, but more mobile phone based. You know, come on, I guess you've been interviewed many times, you know. Mm. You go to an interview or you sit down, there's a big camera there and then you've got the interviewer and they're asking you all these questions. It's basically still that, except it's all on your mobile phone.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got this this nice little kit. You
Which
set up
is
a tripod.
A powerful tool and everyone's got
yeah,
one.
It's easily accessible and yes. we ended up learning that it's a lot less more intimidating for a lot of people, you know, because you'll get a shy person here or there. You know, people are very nervous to get in front of the camera, but when you see that it's a lot smaller, it's just a mobile, like it kind of just melts away, you know,
sure.
and then you can just have this heart-to-heart with who you're interviewing, I guess. Mm. But yeah, it's a very it's a lot more easy to bring around. It's just a tripod and then it's like a little cage. It's a handheld cage.
Yes.
And you just place your phone in there and you hook up all the audio stuff, because that was one of the challenges I thought mobile journalism would face. I thought, well, how are you going to get as much good audio as a normal camera can pick up, or the quality of this and that? But technology is advancing every day.
Yes, it is.
So the quality of a phone camera is amazing. Good. And there are so many easy little ways you can get good audio.
Yes.
So it's really, yeah, it was great.
And look, a fantastic space. We need more journos out there, black journos at that, and women at that. So here we are, First Nation women, as well as our Asian Pacific sisters and Indo-Pacific as well. So talk about the different nationalities, women that were at the table.
Oh, of course. I definitely will. So we had, there was a lot of First Nations girls from here in Cairns, down in Rockhampton, Perth, Darwin, even up north in the Pilbara. And then we had the girls from Fiji,
yes.
Cook Islands, Solomon Islands, the Philippines, actually, PNG, and I think that was all of us.
Yeah, sure.
Really hope I didn't forget anyone.
It's a variety. Fantastic,
yeah,
you know.
Very yes, big yes, variety. Yes, yes, yes. But, yeah, so that was one of my other, something else I was really excited to be a part of, I guess just the mix of women and culture as well, you know. And we all ended up finding out that, I guess, you know, we're all born and raised in different places and, you know, all our tradition
we're gonna
and culture.
We're going to mile each other's
bonkerses. Yeah, exactly. And the tradition and culture was so different, yeah. but we all ended up figuring out how similar we all were.
Of course.
And just those little, like, especially for women of colour, you know, there was just that little connection that we all had with ourselves.
Same.
And, yeah, no, it was great.
In many ways.
Mm.
So with that, so you had 2 weeks there and then you've been doing, for 8 weeks, you're saying, every Tuesday online?
Yeah, just an online training. So that was just...
That's all a part of that training?
Yeah, it was just a Zoom call to, like, get us in the feel. And they even set little homework tasks, like film this, or just after what we'd learnt.
Mm.
And, yeah, so I think that was, like, 6 to 8 weeks, but it was really good. It was really needed because we'd all been looking at each other on a screen for that bit and then we all went down there and finally met each other.
So, face behind the screen.
That was it, yes, that was it.
Meeting in flesh. Mm. Talk about what comes out of you. Do you receive a certificate as such, or where does that put you in regard to your training as a mobile journalist?
Mm. Well, at the end of our 2 weeks, we actually, on our last day actually, we had a little ceremony, a little graduation just amongst ourselves. And they did give me a little certificate actually. And they gave me, I think it's, you know, one of those leis?
Yeah.
You know how them Islander kids, whenever they graduate, they get all the lollies and twist it up like that? Yeah, we had one of those made
good.
For us. And
So you can add this to your resume.
Yeah, well. Mm. I guess so. Mm. It would look good.
Not that
I
you're going nowhere soon. You belong to BBM now. We're hanging on to you, girl. Shut up. Anyway. So, but it adds that to your resume, don't you?
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. And so I actually was kind of glad that they did give us a little certificate because it's cute, you know, and we got these little...
more meat on the bone regarding what you've been trained to do.
Of course, yeah. And we had another little gift that they made us, these little clapsticks. I can't remember where they were made again, but they're beautiful. I have to bring them in to show you. But,
yeah, good. You have to. Yep, yeah, you're good. Fantastic. So does that finish now, your training with these guys?
Yes.
It does.
It has. Okay, it has finished. It's only been one weekend. I only left last Friday, but we're still texting each other all, actually, a lot.
Make friendship along the way. Business relationship, but friendship for life.
And a lot of holiday destinations to travel to now, I guess, now that they're all over this place.
Sister, I'm going to be there. Can you hook me up? Yeah, accommodation, which way? Too deadly. And so so how long have you been here with BBM?
I think I'm going into my fourth or fifth month now, actually.
How are you enjoying the journey? For you to pursue more education in this industry, there must be some sort of passion there.
Well, yeah, I guess there must be. You know, look, I've always been told I can talk underwater.
No.
So, no. I guess it's just time to individual. Apply.
Shy individual. I'm trying to get a word in here, Ruby. Please, it's my show. I'm the host. Shut up.
See what I mean? No, but I don't know. I really enjoy working here. I'll just say that. I really enjoy
The work that it
I love being broadcasting here and doing my shows and listening to music. And I've always actually preferred more being behind the camera. That's why that program was good, because we got to set up and be behind the camera and interview each other like that. But I guess if you need me in front of the camera, I'll do it.
Sure. Yeah. Do whatever it takes. Fantastic. So there it is. So you're creating a nice pathway, a platform, a foundation for your future in this industry. But I will say this is uncle to you, elder, in regards to the platform. We live in the 21st century. We could be trained for three or four different industries. It's a very transient world we live in, and forever changing. So, I mean, you can do two, three casual jobs and make a full-time wage. You know, if not a business entity in that sense. So seek the information for all the different industries and, you know, make yourself, how you say, employable, if not entrepreneur, businesswoman, black one at that, you know.
No, that's
run into different industries. So good on you, sister.
Thank you.
I'm feeling your excitement, your buzz there, and another step forward. And it's another step in on the journey of your chapter, you know.
Thank you.
And at the moment, here it is, media. So progressing that, fantastic. And where you go from here, well, the wool's your oyster.
No, that's it. That's it.
And when you get to the top, don't forget us.
No, that's no. You know? Don't worry. You. Don't worry. We're going to the top together.
I know
together.
Where you live.
Yes.
Shut up. Too dirty, my sister. Ruby Kessel, good yarning with you. And quickly let the people know the work you do here at BBM, what show you do.
Oh, yes. So every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m., I do my Torres Strait Hour with Ruby. And NERS also picks that up as well. So shout out NERS. Thank you for that.
National Digital Radio Service, yes.
And every other day, you can catch me from 2 to 4 p.m. doing Easy Listening.
Easy Listening. Now, you got a slogan with your radio?
Oh.
Roll it, share it.
It's time to get groovy with Ruby.
There it is. I'm waiting for it. Time to get groovy with Ruby Mob. That's our deadly sister here, Ruby Ketchell, who just finished the Indo-Pacific, Asian-Pacific First Nation women training, commentators and mobile journalists. Got a little certificate for doing that. Ruby, congratulations, sister. Another step forward and like progressing. And we'll talk soon and keep doing what you're doing, sister.
Thank you.
Okay, lovely. So beautiful yarn there with Ruby Ketchell. Fantastic. And look, stepping in further down the track in regard to building her foundation in the media industry. Fantastic. And that's what it's all about, you mob. You get out there and get the education and become a professor in your field. Working towards that, you know, opens up a lot of doors. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. With the Ballier and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, and coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, which Ruby gave you a shout out. Take it on board, you mob. Too deadly. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's Colourstone. No More Boomerang here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up with Michelle from WA. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, brother boy. How are you?
I'm good, my sister. Long time no talk. You well?
I'm very well. Good, I'm very good. Well. Good. I'm almost at the completion of my lawsuit.
Of your what?
Giving
your
me
what?
Some... My lawsuit. Oh, remember, Lord. I was taking legal action against a health institute.
Yes.
Which I can't go into too much details about, but fine, I'm getting closure, and I'm setting a precedence for other, not just First Nations people, but community members in general.
Thank you.
But what I want to talk about is, firstly, to our mob that are listening today, Perth mob particularly, to make sure that you get a presence up at the rally that's been organised by the oppositions against the Aboriginal Heritage Bill, to which we are absolutely disgusted and appalled by the opposition that have now decided that there wasn't enough evidence produced to say that Aboriginal people have the right to protect and conserve our predecessors and our ancestral spiritual presence on this universe. We are the oldest culture in the whole of the universe. What one of the major mining companies has done to a particular sacred site, which can't be replaceable, which can't be returned back to the people. So we're calling on all Noongar people, all our people in general, to get up there and support, and let's rally, stand unified, and speak our voice, because it's going to have an impact on us and our culture, and particularly when we are the custodians of this land and the investment of our ancestors that have embedded in us to preserve the knowledge, the heritage, the culture, the law, and particularly our ceremonies that were conveyed on these landscapes. So that's one thing.
Have you got a rally going on, have you, Michelle?
Yeah, there's a rally that's been called today at 12 p.m. at Parliament House.
That's in Perth?
Parliament House, I mean.
Is that in Perth?
Yes, but that's been organised by the oppositions, the farmers and the pastoralists and everybody else, but we need Aboriginal presidents up there.
Yes.
I certainly will be attending with my flag, with my pride on my chest, representing our people and our culture. The other thing I want to talk about is this voice, and it just applauds me, brother boy, that we have Aboriginal people that have been appointed into positions of leadership that get to have their voice in the federal parliament house. And us as grassroots people, we don't get to have any input into that. We have a referendum, and we want the referendum. We know that, this is a long process, and there's enough evidence base to support that we are unique. We have a right of way. This is our right. It's not a privilege. This is our right as First Nations people.
Yes.
And for our own people to stand up and say, don't vote for this because it's going to divide our families. Well, some of these government departments have already divided our family.
Sure.
Here in West Australia, we have the highest ratio of Aboriginal kids in out of home care. So if that's not dividing our family, what's a referendum going to conquer in causing that division and disparity within splitting our families apart? Yes. That's you have control of your family environment. And you can keep your family together. We as matriarchs of our families, we do this with loving, nurturing and intergenerational care. And if we don't continue to do this, and you have the likes of Jacinta Price and, all her so-called followers that want to oppose the voice referendum, you know, you're doing an injustice to your people. And why you keep, you know, using this as a coy to have the opportunity to make your opinions out there on the in the global world, just remember who appointed you to these positions. It's the grassroots people.
Sure.
And you have a responsibility and accountability to our mob to make sure that we, as Aboriginal people, First Nations people, right across the country and state and territories, we have the right to have that referendum and put to the people. And what doesn't, I'm not, at the moment, I don't care about the, what the polling booths are saying because that's just numbers.
Sure.
But when it comes down to the referendum, the minds will change because our courts, which is our heart, over, we call our court our heart here in West Australia, our old people will tell us. They will guide us. They fought the battles and now they've handed the baton over to us to continue those battles so we can give those battles onto our children to make it easier to for their lifestyles to conquer and keep our culture and our business and our ceremonies, you know, ongoing.
Exactly. So, yes, yep. So you're all for the Yes campaign then?
I'm all for the Yes campaign because any avenue that we've got, any opportunity that we have to be recognised, then we should be optimising those opportunities.
Yep.
If we don't, then we're letting ourselves down. We're letting we are still going to be the in you know the lower class citizens of this country.
Yes.
And yet, you know, the wealth of this country is going to be off our lands.
Mm.
And we've got to start making our own opinions, and we've got to start putting our culturally appropriate and advice towards those decision makers in sitting in Canberra at the moment, because we appoint those people there, and if we can't get this referendum over the line, then that's going to be a sad state of affairs. But I hope that we never ever give up on it. We will continue to fight because we have that fire burning in our heart.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for sharing, and look,
thank
all the best
you,
for the
brother.
Rally, and we'll be in touch. But you stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Will do, brother boy.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Dilly Yarn there. Michelle from WA, Noongar woman there, yarning up strong and talking about the rally that's happening regarding protecting our mob. And she's strongly a yes for the yes campaign for the voting for the referendum about to happen later on this year. Maybe you want to add to the conversation. All ears here, even if you now want to hear what you got to say. And it's we're all torn between it and regarding yes or no. But there's the conversation to be had. Have your say. Yarn up strong here. Add to the conversation. National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor Murray from Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country. BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob. What? image, colour of your skin here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindji country. And we go across the country thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, have your say. Now, Orange Sky, Queensland-based charity, unveils new research ahead of Homelessness Week, 6th to 13th August. Which is in the process right now. Love and respect our homeless people. Support them any way you can. We're going to talk to Sonia Tufnell, Senior Fundraising Manager at Orange Sky. On the line, Sonia. Good morning, Sonia. How are you, Sonia?
Oh, hi, Trevor. I'm well today. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you based?
I'm in Meanton today, and this is where the Orange Sky headquarters is.
Okay, fantastic. So here we have Homeless Week, 6th to 13th August, but when we talk Homelessness Week, it's 52 weeks in a year. It's love and respecting our people out there who are struggling, yes?
Absolutely. And we know that more and more people are struggling, you know, with the cost of living and the housing crisis. It's getting a little scary out there, but, you know, Orange Sky, is here to help, across Australia, and, you know, we just want to keep doing more.
So give us a description of Orange Sky. What is it that you guys do?
Orange Sky started 9 years ago, where two best mates decided they wanted to help, and they put some washing machines and tumble dryers in and drove out to a Meanton park where they knew some people were sleeping rough. And so they did some laundry for one of the first friends of Orange Sky there. Mm. And since then it's grown more and more, and we do 300 shifts a week now across Australia. And, you know, we're very pleased that we can be there to help. However, it'd be better if our services weren't needed.
Exactly.
But we know that...
You're trying to work yourself out of work, aren't you?
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be amazing if we weren't needed?
Mm, fantastic. And look, love and respect to the homelessness out there. They know of the orange vehicles, vans, don't they?
They do. And, you know, we try really hard to be reliable and turn up same time every week. Mm. So people who are doing it tough, homeless or just people who need a little extra hand can come and get their washing done.
Yeah.
Sometimes some of our services offer showers, so, you know, we can offer that to our friends. Because we know at the moment, you know, we are suffering a crisis.
Yes, we are.
And the recent census data showed that there was an increase of about 5% of homelessness in Australia. However, that was done in 2021, so it has only gotten worse, and we know that the demand for our services is greatly increasing.
There's family members, isn't there?
12 remote communities across the country.
Yes.
With a focus on improving health outcomes and providing employment for First Nation Australians.
Lovely.
So, you know, we want to be there for everyone.
Yeah, fantastic. Because if you look at the situation, homelessness, some people have been pushed that way because of the, the rental property situation where people, there's no place to rent and the people are getting evicted because investors are lifting their price of the rent up and creates more homelessness people living in their cars. You there, Sonia? Sonia. Oh, lost Sonia. We'll try and get Sonia back. Sonia Tufnell is her name, Senior Fundraiser Manager at Orange Sky. Lost her in the conversation there, but you guys are probably well aware of the orange vehicles that travel around. And two young fellas started it. So I wanted to find out with Sonia how long ago it was. It escapes me now what the period she did state. But they just wanted to help homeless people. I mean, people living on the streets but in their same clothes. So they thought, well, come to this van, we'll wash your clothes, have a yarn with you, and then we give you the clothes all cleaned up, rugged up, ready to go again, you know. So fantastic. And now it's a big organisation, a national organisation, Orange Sky Queensland-based charity, and their research ahead of the Homelessness Week, which is happening 6th to 13th of August, which I said is a should be a 52-week thing, which should be the case. But there it is. We'll try and get Sonia back, continue that conversation. But if you are struggling out there, don't forget Lifeline 131114. Or if you want to talk to our Murray Mob, 13 Yarn 139276. They're the two numbers that you can call for support and help, just to get it off your chest and have a yarn with somebody. The support and help is there for you. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Soon has named that deadly song, Badra. And speaking of home soon, some people haven't got a home. And we're just talking to Sonia. Are you there, Sonia?
I am. Sorry about that, Trevor. I don't know what happened.
All good. Got you back. Sonia Tufnell, Senior Fundraiser Manager at Orange Sky. Now, Orange Sky, is that a national organisation now or just Queensland?
No, we're national. We're across Australia and actually New Zealand as well. We're international.
They're the orange people, yes?
The orange people. That's us.
Paint the picture in regards to when an individual comes to the van, their clothes being washed. What are they wearing or where are they sitting when this is all happening? Paint the picture, please.
Oh, absolutely. So people tend to bring their washing that they need done in bags. So they are wearing their own clothes. But we do, part of our ethos is that it's all about connection as well. So, you know, we bring our six orange chairs and have a yarn. Absolutely. All our volunteers love sitting down and yarning with our friends. And, you know, it's such an important part and helps our friends feel really connected.
Well, that yarn is a good number one medicine, isn't it?
100%. How good do we all feel after we've had a yarn?
Yeah, exactly. So fantastic that happens. Is any food, tea, coffee involved? Or
No, we don't do that. We leave that to the some amazing other services that we tend to partner with. I was down in Melbourne recently and visiting some services there, and our van rocked up at services that had either lunch or some dinner.
Yes.
And so friends could have a chat with us, a nice yarn, and then get some food and have their clothes washed all at the same time. So it's brilliant.
Yeah, beautiful. I was talking about the situation with rental.
Are you still there, Trevor?
Yeah, can you hear me? Sonia?
I'm sorry.
No, I lost Sonia. All right, that's Sonia Tufnell, her name is Senior Fundraiser Manager at Orange Sky. She might be in the van. I don't know where she is, but yeah, that's twice we lost her now. But look, a fantastic organisation, now national and even New Zealand as well. So something with a concept and fantastic. Hats off to the two young brothers, two boys who thought of this concept and idea and just wanted to help people. And they loaded up a van and put some washing machines in there and dryers. I don't know how they connected or how it works. But they went around and started washing people's clothes. I think we've got her on the line now. We'll try again. Sonia, you there?
I am. Sorry, Trevor.
All good. So I was just thinking, in regards to the work that you're doing, we're talking about the situation with the rental situation across this country. A lot of people have been evicted because of investments, high rents or whatever the case may be, screaming for rent. So a lot of people are living in cars, and I'm talking families as well. So this service would come into play too, wouldn't it not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So I actually met a friend the other day, and she was working full-time, but her rent went up so much that she couldn't afford it anymore, and she couldn't find anywhere else to live. So she ended up living in her car for 6 months. And, so when you're in your car, of course, you've got nowhere to do your washing or have a shower. So that's where Orange Sky comes in.
Good. Fantastic. And how long have you been operating for Orange Sky?
It's been 9 years since the boys founded it. So, yeah, we've grown a lot in that time. Thanks to all of our wonderful supporters and donors and, you know, all the wonderful people who've got behind it and care about our friends doing it tough.
Yeah, team effort. Can you mention the two boys' name, please? Want to give them a big shout-out.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick and Lucas. Nick and Lucas, who were best mates and founded it together. And they're still involved. And, yeah, they're still doing amazing work.
Oh, lovely. Nick and Lucas. Sonia, thank you very much. You take care. I can say goodbye now, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, lovely to chat, Trevor. Sorry about the technical issues.
All good. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye.
Little Yarn there. Sonia Tufnell, her name is, Senior Fundraiser Manager at Orange Sky. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Got about 18 minutes left on the program. Have you saying Yarn Strong? All is here for your daily program, National Talk Black. And for all topics, please give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, you can't beat the sound of didgeridoo. That's We Have Survived. No fixed address there. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to catch up and have a yarn with Tony Gibbs. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother? How you going, brother?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm going by car at the moment. I've got a car going, all the bugs out, and re-register it. And I'm heading in the Cairns in about a quarter of an hour. I'll trash the car now.
Good, fantastic. Mobile again. Yeah. Tony Gibbs, mobile again.
Mobile again, mate. And going down to the green patch, which is rapidly being destroyed. It's now the green and grey and brown patch because
it's
a big mess, mate. All
losing the green scenery is what you're saying. That's why the brown and the grey.
Well, it's a cultural, social site, the same as the problems in Western Australia, but this is a big thing for this community, and we've got homeless people down there, they're down the river, and they've got a big flag up, and it's an ongoing thing. And I think in this Mulgrave River there, Curtis Pitt has disappeared from the scene. It's sort of a riderless horse, and there's no one to get in touch with. But that's not what I rang up about.
Okay, mate. Talk to me. What do you want to yarn about?
Albanese's comment at the Garma Festival, he said that if the referendum doesn't go ahead... Very bluntly, he said, "There's no way forward. The Murrays can do anything else."
I've always said this: if not this, then what? We don't have a treaty. This may be the next best thing.
To answer your question, is it must Aboriginal people must protest to England, to the Crown, to the bottom of the country? That is the only way. Oh, if that goes down, I think that is the only avenue. You go like a joke before, and the French off with their heads, but you know, the crown can be removed, but it needs a big effort from this country. So if it does go down, there's plan B. It has to go to England.
Well, I know, and you look at Australia, black and white, mainly white, who are always talking about moving away from the Commonwealth. We just had the Victorian Premier who cancelled out the Commonwealth. No one's sort of keen to pick it up again. What are they saying? It was a Commonwealth thing, but the Commonwealth, how you say, connection is slowly falling apart. People want to live their own life and have their own country and have their own rules and regulations. I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's a sign of the times.
Yeah, sign of the times, yes.
You know, and but I just, you know, the 10th Embassy did have an exhibition in London not very long ago. Mm. I don't know if it's still going. But like, coming from England, I feel really that's my thing, is to really have a knock the crown for the sad thing is that if Murray votes in this referendum, and I'm sure a lot of people will vote when they didn't have to in a compulsory voting, this one is important for Murrays, but generally with no treaty, people shouldn't have to have a compulsory vote, you know.
Yeah.
You're voting for, without a treaty, you're voting for the enemy, but this is important. But I think that if it does go down, plan B is the protests have to be directed directly at the Crown.
Yeah. Well, we do have numbers against us in regards to only 3% of the and population, our First Nation. So we need support from our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters. but just hearing a lot of negative talk in regard to no thumbs up.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And I'm sorry to say, I think I had mentioned before, yeah, I'm for Murray's getting anything they can, but it's going to be the Migaloos of white people that are going to decide this, I think, with their numbers.
Mm.
And so we're all waiting to see, and time's ticking away. And I just think that plan B, that everything has to be directed directly to the Crown.
Sure.
For treaty, you know, if the referendum goes down, well, the next step is a proper treaty.
Well, the colonisation stemmed from the English counterparts, didn't it?
That's why that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly. It does come from the English.
Yeah, it does.
And so, you know, this government is only subservient to the British Crown.
Benefit from it.
Yeah, you know, and I see the Americans are making a big presence up in Darwin with the bombers being thing there, and they don't need referendums for that. The people should have a say in that.
Mm.
And Albanese said in the first place, at the beginning of the year, it was reported, they could have given the Murray a voice without this referendum. And I think it's political, and I don't really think that they want to give the voice to government.
Yes.
Just
yes.
By what Albanese said, if this doesn't give the Murray's voice, there's no way forward for them. Well, I can't accept that. There is a way forward, and that's
Commonwealth. That's Commonwealth, yes. Go straight to England, the so-called motherland. So-called motherland.
Yeah, well, it's not mine anymore. I'm part and parcel of this, no matter what the paperwork says. I'm an Australian resident.
Yep.
I'm not a citizen, and I won't vote because of lots of reasons, conscience issues, and I'm not going to swear allegiance to the Crown and become an Australian citizen when there's no treaty.
Yeah, beautiful.
Not in my mind. Okay, I'm going to give somebody else a go. But
thank you, my brother.
Like
you travel safe,
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye, Tony. Tony Gibbs, having his say, yarn up strong, and you too can add to the conversation. Got 12 minutes to do that here. National Talk Black, one-hour program, live at the First Station radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All ears here for any yarn you got, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Christine Nanu, sunshine on a rainy day, because it's been overcast, raining all weekend here in Cairns, North Queensland. So bring out the sunshine. We've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. What I'd like to see is Jeffrey Robinson have a program called A Potential, brother. And he's a human rights lawyer, and he's having trouble with... He's trying to defend Julian Assange because of the Americans.
Yes.
They want him. He didn't commit a crime. He just reported a crime. And... Brother, it was good that bloke I've been last night from Gama. Different to Richard Pickens, brother. When they brought up the American nuclear submarine, she didn't want to talk about the Americans. And I'm glad Tony did. And that brother last night, I like what he said. And, you know, there are three sorts of no's. Sorry, two So three no, there's that no, and there's the treaty one no, and there's my no, brother. I'm on my own, brother. I'm a no person.
Okay.
Simply because, well, I just say nobody's sort of respecting the British Crown and all that stuff now. Mm. Well, like I said before, when William Cooper first went to people to take a voice to Parliament, take it over to England, and now I remember from people from my community, Palm Island, you know, and they signed that petition. Was it a thumbprint or an X? They signed that petition, and Palm Island had a American base there, brother, a US base there, and again another being looked illegally occupied by another mob, and then they like I told you about Stephen Ambruston, investigative researcher, found that the real reason they took people from Cape Bedford, the real reason was because they wanted to put a what's name the airstrip for the US. And I also think of the sacking of Whitlam. He was he was elected by the people, but they sacked him, and there was American fingerprint all over that too, because you know, hearing Rachel, she's a Aranta, I think, as well. I think Aranta. That's the TO where the Pond Gap is. And after Gough Whitlam deemed a sort of grand land rush to Gurindji, and the Pond Gap was coming up for the lease expired. But then the other government coming, they put the LNP mob, Whitlam, sorry, the Liberal at the time, they put him in. And they extended the lease for a peppercorn. And, you know, brother, we sort of focus too much on, we're going to watch what's going down in South Australia. And, you know, this a voice in Parliament, when the invaders come in without the consent of the native, and having us in the Constitution, it legally gives them consent. Consent to do what? It's only advisory and the consent to, do what is legally right but morally wrong.
Yes.
And the AUKUS treaty going to all over any treaty at all, brother. Because, and you know, why people don't want to talk about the US. You know, it was good that first speaker you got on that works in there, and she talked about the Asia Pacific, and the people of the modern people, they got their, I don't know what they call it, treaty or sovereignty, or they got their own stuff, you know, people in Parliament, they're all black ones in Parliament. But because of America going to do this AUKUS treaty, I mean, just got to go back to Bikini Atoll, brother, and when they had that testing out there, and Maralinga, brother, and of course, British. The U.S. they invaded. Look at what's happening in what's the place over near Russia, over there.
Ukraine.
The same thing happened in the Bay of Pigs, brother. And that's going to happen over in China. They're bullying, brother, the U.S. And like I said before, when the U.S. sneezes, Australia kicks the cold.
Yes.
And I'm sort of, you know, that Kevin Bloody Wilson, I said before. When he's gone on a date, he said, you F one first, and he just stretches the point. But none of this, you want to come to bed or what? And you sort of don't really know, you know, the woman don't really know what the bloke is saying. You want to come to bed or what? You know, and we're going to say yes. What are we really saying yes to, brother? We're going to legally consent for something. We can only advise. We're going to legally consent for something. But that something is to be able to do what is morally wrong, that is legally right, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Good point. Thank you very much. So on there, having his say, he is a no man regarding the vote, referendum, and all he's here for what you're going to say, but you may have to do that yarn tomorrow, because Trendy Trev going to sign up for today's program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon Queensland time. And stay tuned. You can always add to the conversation by calling us on that number, 1-800-422-416. But 24/7, text a brother, 0457140550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. But thank you for your company, your mob. Got the news coming up very soon via NERS, National News Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team. Also a big shout out to First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours. Daily Black Network, yarning up strong. All our yarns not talked about on mainstream radio. So it's good to have our First Nation radio stations live and strong in the 21st century. Have a good day, your mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.